Greetings to our Honey Ridge family from Papua, Indonesia. We've been following the lockdown in South Africa via the online media and have been wondering how folks have been coping with the isolation and restriction of movement. We are also under isolation here in Papua. The town we live in has been sealed off from the rest of the island. Even the Moscona villages that are accessible by road have had the roads closed to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Truly, even some of the most remote places on earth are being affected by this pandemic. It is my privilege today to be talking to you about the portion of the book of James that deals with dead faith. I will be drawing insights from the book on James written by Roger Ellsworth. Our text today is from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 19. In the beginning of this section, James asks two thought-provoking questions in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? There is not much point in saying something if no one is listening. James wants to make sure his readers are listening. So he does not begin by saying that he has done considerable research on a matter and is now ready to present his findings. No, not at all. He rather begins by asking a couple of questions, the second of which is, can faith save anyone? Now there are certain statements that are so universally held among Christians that to deny them is to brand oneself as a non-Christian. Jesus is Lord is one such statement. Another is, salvation is by grace through faith alone. And now James, the half-brother of Jesus himself, has the audacity to question whether faith saves. James certainly has their attention. And so having obtained their attention, he then presses on and presents a hypothetical situation in verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? James calls his readers to imagine themselves being confronted by a brother or sister in Christ who is naked and destitute of daily food. Such a situation demands a response, and someone has a response. While the church is gazing upon the scene of urgent and crying need, one person pipes up and says, go in peace, be warmed and filled. The individual has expressed a commendable desire to see the needs of this brother or sister met. But have any needs been met? Has anything changed? No, the brother or sister is still naked and hungry. All that has taken place is that some words have been spoken. Mere words are worthless if they do not lead to action, and therefore faith is useless if it is nothing more than a matter of words. Having read James' words about the needy brother or sister, the people to whom James wrote waited for an explanation. And so James writes in verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James' words have sparked a tremendous debate. Is James really denying salvation by faith? Is he really suggesting that salvation can be secured only by producing good works? Is James out of step with the great apostle Paul, who so loudly trumpeted the doctrine of salvation by faith? The answer to each of these questions is a resounding no. James was not denying salvation by faith. He was not advocating salvation by works either. He was not disagreeing with the apostle Paul. James believed firmly in salvation by faith, but he believed just as firmly that saving faith inevitably shows up in good works. The writer Kent Hughes has a helpful explanation, and I quote, Paul's teaching about faith and works focuses on the time before conversion, and James' focus is after conversion. End quote. We do not have a works faith, but we believe that faith works. We might say that good works cannot produce salvation, but salvation most certainly produces good works. John Calvin also said, and I quote, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. James is really dealing here then with a very common problem, namely thinking we have true faith without really having it. He is dealing with the matter of being deceived about salvation. Notice again his questions in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? The emphasis is on a person saying that he or she has faith. But the absence of works from that person's life proves that this faith is a matter of words only. James is making the same point that the Apostle John made in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. He would also have us remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Having drawn this conclusion, James proceeds to handle a challenge in verse 18. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." James maintains that it is impossible to show faith without works. But it is possible to show faith through works. Again, Kent Hughes observes, and I quote, "Faith and works are like the wings of a bird. There can be no real life, no flight with a single wing, whether it be works or faith. But when the two are pumping together in concert, their owner soars through the heavens." And so James wraps up this section by making a searching comparison in verse 19. "You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder." We are saved only by faith in the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus. Let us never be mistaken about that. But there is such a thing as true faith, and there is such a thing as false faith. One of the marks of false faith is that it contends itself with mere belief in the existence of God. Is it good to believe that there is one God? Absolutely. James says that those who believe this truth do well. But is belief in the existence of God sufficient for the saving of the soul? James answers by pointing to the demons of hell. They also believe in God. They know the truth about God, and the truth they know makes them tremble in terror. But is their belief a saving belief? Of course not. And neither is our belief in God if it consists of nothing more than nodding in agreement with various propositions and statements about God. Further than just relating faith to good works, there is a similar aspect, that of relating faith to action. This is believing God has told one to do something and then actually doing it. This relationship of belief and actions came home to me in a dramatic way many years ago, when we were considering God's call to go to the mission field. Before Debbie and I had been married, we both believed that the Lord had called us to serve Him on the mission field. I believed this with all my heart, but up to that point had not done anything about it. I was living the suburban dream. I had a good job with a company car, had had a recent promotion, we had a lovely home, and also the birth of our first child. I was comfortable and kept on thinking that I would go to the mission field at some point in the future. One day, Debbie challenged me and asked if I was still prepared to go through with this commitment. I replied that of course I was. However, this was initially purely an intellectual agreement. I had not done anything to actually go. I had to do something to prove that I believed that God had really called us to the mission field. It was only after I had given up my job, we had sold our house and cars, and removed all the earthly props that I had depended on, did I have a better understanding of how true faith is not just believing that God has spoken, but also acting on that belief. Although this time of lockdown and restricted movement is difficult, I believe that it is also a God-given opportunity for us to reevaluate our lives in the light of God's Word. And so I would pose a question today. What evidence can you see in your life that you have true faith in the Lord? What do you know the Lord is telling you to do to show that you have true faith? Perhaps it is to speak to someone about their spiritual condition, or perhaps it is to show good works to those less fortunate than ourselves during this difficult time. Perhaps it is something more life-changing, like the Lord's call on your life to serve Him in one way or another. It could be any number of things, but the Lord will never stop challenging you to prove that you have true faith, and not just intellectual belief that does not result in action. May the Lord bless you as you prayerfully consider this truth from His Word today.